I love that line. I once was lost, and now I'm found. And I interpret that always to mean I once lived in those lower energies of resentment and justified them. And now I bring the energy of grace to the presence of everything. And that song always just seems to bring me up. That's why I asked my daughter to sing it. And it's why I wanted to play it for you here today. Any thoughts? Any?
Yeah. Yesterday, we talked, and I mentioned that I also grew up with an alcoholic stepfather who, you know, always told me to never amount to anything or anything, never be anything. And recently, I sold my business and ordered a new car with the intentions of driving out to his grave and urinating on it. Now, you're telling me I'm going to have to go out there and pray for him. Am I correct? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I think that, first of all, you know, urine is part of the natural juices, so it's not, it's only bad because we just interpret it to be bad. Some people use it to heal, you know, in other parts of the world. And some people even drink it, you know, as a healing. But I think that the relevance of that question, and I think it's a good one, is because I wanted to do that too, is that our greatest teachers are not the people who agree with us. And many times the most powerful, important teachers in our life, in fact, you might only be where you are today and have that car. Because this teacher came along. Who's to know? Now think about this. Who's to know in an infinite universe in which there's no beginning and no end, how many lifetimes we get? If it's infinity, you get as many as it's, you know, there's no number that you can place on it. And who's to know that, I mean, one little lifetime, that this father of yours, stepfather of yours, like my father, just signed up and said, you know, I remember Betty Eady writing about this in one of her books, and saying that somebody had incarnated onto this plane in order to sit as a bum in front of a particular office entrance in order to have someone walk by and see them and develop some compassion that they didn't have before. And he said, I'll take a lifetime to do that. And who's to know that this stepfather didn't incarnate into this world to talk to you about what a jerk you were and to put all of these kinds of negative thoughts into your mind in order to teach you how to transcend your own, you know, your own anger and your own hatreds and your own lower consciousness, your own levels. And that perhaps, you know, I've often said that the people who can push your buttons and the people who can send you into those lower places are your greatest teachers that you'll ever have. Because they teach you that you haven't mastered yourself yet. And when you haven't mastered yourself, what that means is you still don't know how to choose peace in response to their hostility, in response to what they have done. And they keep pushing you, they keep pushing you. And they never go away, they never disappear. I call them, they're like turds that won't flush. You know, they just keep coming back and coming back and coming back. He may have been the person that is most responsible, like my own father might have been the person most responsible because I wanted to prove something and I needed to forgive. And maybe he showed up just to teach me to forgive. And when I did, everything in my life turned around, everything. So I'd send him some flowers on his grave. Yeah.
Does forgiveness mean you have to accept someone back into your life, or can you accept forgive someone at a distance?
It has nothing to do with whether they're there present physically or not. Nothing to do with that at all. Forgiveness is an act of the heart. What you're talking about is an act of the feet. You know, whether they're going to be there or not going to be there. Forgiveness is an act of the heart. It takes place in here. And many times, the people that you have to forgive, it's like everybody in your life is like a character in a play. Okay? So the character in the play, some of them are in for the first act, and some of them are in for the first two acts. Some are in for the whole play, all right? And some just make entrances and then they leave. And some have roles to play that are not quite as salubrious as you would like them to be. But they're all just characters in this play called your life. And it doesn't mean that if someone, let's say you were married to someone that was very abusive and hostile to you, you got to be able to still send them love. That's what it's all about. But you don't have to stay with them. You don't ever have to be a victim. They have played out. They were in the first act or the first two acts, but they're not in the third act or the fourth act. They're not there any longer. It's just a play. All the world is a play, is a stage, and we're just actors on that stage. Yeah, any others? Yes.
We had a mother and her two daughters struck by a motorist whose car went out of control in front of our school building about a week and a half ago. And the thing that I was impressed with was the father who I spoke with was praying for that motorist as well as for his wife and the three children. And at the celebration of the life, we sung Amazing Grace, so I'm very touched.